The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
As we get into New Year's resolutions, again, many of us have made them, right? We've all made New Year's resolutions. We've all been there, and I'm not camping on, you know, the idea of New Year's resolutions because many of them do get broken, so I'm not trying to go there, but the whole point is as we look to new years and new months and things like that, there's a lot in Scripture about new seasons and new things. And so it's easy for us to get our minds, you know, around new because, again, it's just all through Scripture. So first blank there, in 2013, God wants you to break through. If you're following along, 2013, God wants you to break through. There are things that we're all going through right now that we need to break through, okay? All different things for our different family, for us as families and for us as individuals. There are probably tough things that you've walked through, tough things that you're still going through, or, you know, new things that we need God's strength for us to break through. And He is that kind of God. He wants us to break through. And so that's what we're going to look at this year this morning, is that He wants us to do that. So even now, start thinking, as we head into, you know, 2013, there are things that He's going to bring us through, that we can only get through with His breakthrough. So number one there, if you're following along, God has something new for you this year. God has something new for you this year. And we're going to look in Luke 5, verses 36 through 39. This is a parable. This is Jesus talking. And if you have your Bibles, you can flip there on your phones. And we will have these up here. So a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. All through Scripture, Jesus would teach in parables. And that's exactly what it is. He would tell an earthly story that had a heavenly meaning. So this is Jesus talking in Luke 5, starting in 36. Said, He told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. So there's, this is the parable here, seeing that for us to have new things, then we have to have new going on in us, right? We have to have things. We have to be ready for, you know, God to do these new things. All through Scripture, there's a parallel between old and new. A lot of times it's referred to the old man, or our flesh, or our sinful nature that we want to go back to. Even as it said here in the Scripture, it says, the old is better. And many times we just get comfortable. You know, Satan's tool many times isn't this huge, drastic sin, which, I mean, he would like to do that too sometimes, but just us being complacent and us getting comfortable and saying, well, I like where I am, or I've done this way for 10 years or 5 years or whatever. I can just stay here. I can just be comfortable. And what we want to see is that, you know, we want to be going up against the flesh, and we want to be fighting off the old man and saying, no, God, I want to do new. I want to live in His Spirit. We want to be walking in the Spirit, not having the, you know, not having the old man having victory. And so what we want to see is if He has something new for us, we have to understand we're going to easily want to stay in the old, because it's much easier. There's no risk. There's no anything, and we just want to stay complacent. We stay lukewarm. Even in Scripture, it says that, you know, talking about us being lukewarm Christians. We should be hot or cold. You know, not just stuck there, not in that, you know, spot. So, next one there is, if we're following along, certainly He has something new for us. Under there is, God is all about moving forward. God is all about moving forward. Again, not dishonoring the past, because we, you know, many of us have, you know, great legacies of, you know, parents and grandparents who have prayed for us, who have been great heroes of the faith, and you know all that kind of stuff. I'm not discounting good past, but I'm saying us in our own lives, in our own comfort zone, in our own whatever, he's all about moving forward. Psalm 96:1 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." Verse 2 goes on to say, "Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day." And all through the Psalms is talking about every day is a new day. As we seek Christ and as we are Christ's followers, we have a new day every day. So there's the word new is used tons through Scripture, the idea that God is a God of moving forward. You know, all through Scripture, the story of his people, the story of sin and, you know, redemption and restoration, that's all about moving forward. And so as we look and you know, as we try to see, you know, where we are, things that we're stuck in, things that we're doing in our lives, what do we need to move forward in? Because that's the kind of God he is. He is all about moving forward. Growth is something that happens as we progress, right? If we want to grow, something that there has to be some friction there. There has to be, you know, us doing some work and some things happening for us to grow, because healthy things grow. And so that's what we want to be doing in our faith as we keep journeying forward, moving forward. You know, we don't want to be just in that, you know, comfortableness, just staying right there, because that's not his plan. His plan is all about moving forward. And if we're going to move forward for some aspects of our faith, we do have to step into some new things, right? Because there are some things maybe that God's been working on you on, maybe saying in these different areas I need to move forward on. And it could be little things, habits, lifestyle, things like that. It could be big things. Starting a ministry, founding an organization, you know, doing things that the way God has wired us for that something new. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to, you know, move forward in our faith, sometimes we're going to have to step out into that something new. And that stepping out is where it gets tough. That's where it gets challenging. And, you know, even, you know, Peter in the, you know, in the boat, he had to step out to walk on the water. And yes, he started going down at the end, but he had that faith to step out into that new thing, having that faith that you know, Christ would be there for him. So we have to understand and just be even praying now, what is it in our lives that we have to step into that may be very scary for us to move forward, for us to be exactly where God wants us to be in 2013? You know, what do we need to step into? Two, sometimes space must be created for the new. If you're following along, sometimes space must be created for the new. And all through Scripture, and even in my own life, and probably you guys have the testimony there too, many times, in order for God to bring that new to us, we have to deal with the old. We have to deal with what's there. We have to deal with what's wrong or what needs to be cleaned out in order for him to do that new thing. Is that he's an all-powerful God. He wants us to move forward. He wants to do these things. But there is a part sometimes for us to deal with the old, you know, prior to him bringing that new for us. I'm going to look in Genesis 35:2. There's a verse kind of about this. It says, "So Jacob said to his household and to all who are with him, 'Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes.'" So Jacob getting his household saying, let's get rid of the idols, let's get rid of the old, even change our clothes, right? Let's move forward here. And so there's sometimes that we have to deal with the old. I'm going to read also Ephesians 4, starting in verse 31, which is another reference there. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." So sometimes this is the old that we need to get rid of, right? I mean, all of us can probably relate to something up here. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. We're all sinful. We all fight with the old man. We've all dealt with this. And there are some areas that we all need to look at and say, you know what, for me to move forward, God, I need to get rid of this. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I want it to be, you know, moved forward. And so that would be way that we create space for the new. It's very easy to kind of understand this, you know, a creating space principle with this time of year being Christmas time. How many of you guys got like a shirt or got something that goes in your closet? How many of you guys got something for Christmas that would go in your closet? Okay? So we understand that if we're going to be making room in our closets, you know, many times it would be good so we don't turn into hoarders, right? To get rid of some old shirts or old pants or old stuff, whatever, as we put the new in. Because we have to make space for it. Because a lot of our closets probably are kind of tight and there's just no room for that. And also there's sometimes that we just need to because it doesn't fit anymore. You know, for instance, I have this Walt Disney World Mickey Mouse shirt. Okay. And this is one of my favorite. I got it out of my closet last night as I was looking over this. Now, I love this shirt. Okay, I'm from Tampa Bay, Florida, near the Mouse. I grew up going to Disney. We with our family and our kids, we've gone multiple times every year because that's where my family is. It's a tough place to have to visit, right? I mean, if you're down there, you just have to do it. I probably got this early in our marriage, you know, very very early on, and I was a little bit more slender at that time also, and so this fit well, and I loved it. It was a good style, but if I were to pull this out right now. It would not fit. It would not be cool being tight for me. It would look very inappropriate, okay? So this doesn't fit it in my closet anymore. However, it is there because I like it, whatever. But honestly, what I need to do is just, you know, take it out, and next time that I'm at Disney or online, buy a new Mickey Mouse shirt, right? That would fit me where I am now. And so I'm going to put that down. So that's a good, easy illustration. And I hope I get rid of it. Probably Cresta really hopes I get rid of it because I keep a lot of old shirts. But on a spiritual, you know, level, we do that too. Is that we're still in the same habits or the same things or the same, you know, in the clothes, you will, of our life that don't really fit us as being, you know, moving forward in our faith with, you know, Christ. As we become better disciples, as we become stronger followers, we should be moving into new things, things that don't fit us anymore, that, you know, stuff that we chose to do, that doesn't work anymore as we're going to be following Christ now. And so, again, we can understand it easy in our closet, but we can also, you know, put it into practice spiritually. Same thing for this, okay? Great game of Yahtzee, right? This is probably from the 70s. I don't even know how we got this, but this box is like way, way old. How many of you guys have ever played Yahtzee? Okay. How many of you guys have ever gotten a Yahtzee while playing Yahtzee? Well, on three, we're going to stream Yahtzee together, right? One, two, three, Yahtzee. Okay. Great game. We played this the other day. Our kids drove us crazy. They were going nutty. It was supposed to be family fun, and it ended up being not because they didn't want to play and all that stuff. But we got a new Yahtzee for Christmas. It's a new packaging. It's the same dice and cup and same game. But because this is old, the box is like tattered, we now have a new Yahtzee. So what we need to do is take this out for the new one to be put in, right? And again, that's just, I'm not trying to be too minimal of style or something that would be updated, right? But we need to sometimes just update as we move forward, same in our life spiritually, right? We need to say, okay, God, what am I supposed to be doing now? This was great, and it's still the Word, and we're still studying, but now what new studies should I be doing? How could I grow further in my prayer walk? How can I be more of a prayer warrior? How can I, you know, even as Margaret was sharing, you know, share Christ with more people even though we're nervous about it? Because that's the kind of new that we want to be doing as he's moving forward. So let's move on to number three. So we understand that we have to, you know, create the space sometimes. Three, now is the time to create space for the new. Now, if you're following along there, three, now is the time to create space for the new. We understand this, right? That we need, if something needs to be done, and I am the worst at my own house, I'll do that later, right? Oh, it's much easier to just do that later. Let's put this off till later, right? And so, well, we don't really want to create space for the new now. And again, the enemy will use that on us. Oh, you can work on that later in 2013. You can work on that later. You don't have to get closer to Christ now. And he just distracts us, right? That's another tool of the enemy. He just distracts us from, you know, the best thing with, you know, other things like that. And so what we need to understand is that it is now. Even when John the Baptist was getting the world ready for Christ's coming, because again, you know, we had gone through the Old Testament, and then as we get into the Gospels, John the Baptist was the one tasked with, you know, telling everyone to repent because the Messiah is coming. The coming King is actually happening. That's when the New Testament started, and you know, Christ was about to be born, which we just celebrated this week with Christmas. And John the Baptist was saying, repent. Basically, clean out the old, get ready, because the new King is coming. And so, you know, we have to understand that people needed to repent to create space for the new that was coming. And many times we need to do that too. You know, as we trust Christ as our Savior, that and we, you know, many of us have done that, where we said, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. I want you to be in my life. And we have repented and said, God, I'm sorry for the sins that I've done. Let me clean this out so there's room for you to live within me. And we ask Christ in our lives. We receive his salvation. John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so we do that. We get that space. You know, many of us have done that. And that's what John the Baptist was doing, getting people ready for the new. And again, it wasn't like, get ready for that later. It was like, repent now. It was like, get ready now. And so that's what we need to, you know, understand, that it needs to be now. A verse about this, Ephesians 5:15-16, says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. One difference between someone who is wise and someone who is unwise, you know, wise and unwise people, is what they do with opportunity. We'd say, a wise person takes advantage of opportunities, whereas an unwise person doesn't. So we can understand that practically speaking. And again, if God is bringing some opportunities into your life, you want to be praying and saying, God, you know, what am I supposed to do here? But even as, you know, spiritually speaking, we want to be wise. We want to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Again, there's that kind of, you know, pressingness of it, that us as Christians, we should always be, you know, taking the chance now to share Christ with our friends. You know, because life is short, and there's tons of things that happen and all these things. We want to make sure that we're understanding it is pressing for us to be making the most of every opportunity. So the whole idea of now. Two main things, then, this is following along here, under point three. Two main things that keep us from the new. One is apathy. Okay, that's the first one there. Second one, it's a long word, starts with a P. What do you think it is? That goes with now. It is procrastination. Okay? Two things keep us from the new: apathy and procrastination. We understand the idea of apathy. It's just we kind of don't care enough. If we're apathetic about something, we kind of care, but not really. It's whatever. And so that's certainly going to keep us from stepping into the new. And then procrastination, right? How many of you guys have ever procrastinated something, right? Every hand, if you don't have your hand up, you're just procrastinating putting your hand up of saying, yes, I have done that. I have put something off. And so that's really all that is it putting something off that we know needs to be done. And again, all of us have been there. And I, you know, many times I'm like, oh, let's just wait till later, right? And if we do that in our spiritual lives, then we're missing the new that God might want us to be stepping into. Or we are missing him moving and doing incredible things in our lives. And so as you're sitting there going, you know, what have you procrastinated? You know, all of us saying, what has God called us to do, or working on your heart on, or saying, man, I need to be doing this. I need to be reading more. I need to be studying more. I need to be discipling people. I need to be giving more. I need to be praying. All these things. I need huge things. You know, maybe on some of your hearts is, you know, starting a foundation, starting a dream center. I do appreciate, Eric, you sharing and talking about the dream center. The church that my wife and I came from down in Raleigh was very connected to the Dream Center. We actually had Matthew Barnett out speaking And actually, the time that we were prayed over for us to come here to help John and Brandy with Hope Hill, he was the actual speaker on that day. And so it's just a great, unbelievable ministry. When you get home, Google the Dream Center LA. It's just God working unbelievably in inner city, rough stuff that God is getting glory. You know, it's Romans 8:28 coming to life. And God's saying, I will cause all things to work together for the good of people who love me. You know, it's the good and bad all working together. Anyway, thank you for being here and excited. But something like the Dream Center that maybe is brewing in your guys' hearts, right? Saying, what can I start? It may be big, maybe little, but what is that we are procrastinating doing that we know God wants us to do stepping into the new? Okay, also under three here is it's all about responsibility. It's all about responsibility. And then the blanks under there, it says, let God do his part, I will do my part. In our community group, little plug for community groups, I know John already gave one, and in our community group, we just finished a series on responsibility. You know, it's by Andy Stanley. It was a great study. The idea of we need to have a culture of being responsible. You know, owning up to the things that we do. All the way back to the garden, Adam and Eve, the very first thing, there was no responsibility. It was the finger pointing. It's her fault. It's his fault, right? It's all the way back. Our nature, the old, all that is to blame someone else, not take responsibility. And so understanding, it's a great study, and a lot about our own Christianity would be better if we would just take responsibility for our own selves and our own actions. But what I wanted to put under there, the idea of let God do his part and I will do my part is, you know, I don't want to get into the legalistic side or all of that. I want it to be life-giving, and I want it to be the fact that we do have responsibility. And we do need to own things that we are doing, but we don't need to have unnecessary guilt heaped on us or unnecessary, where we're feeling like we can't do anything because we're so bad and God could never use us, and you know, we don't let him do his part, right? Because we understand God's part, he is the king. He still does miracles. He is still changing lives. He's still healing people. He's still saving. Even the fact of us getting salvation is a miracle. Every day when someone else trusts Christ, it says there's a party up in heaven, angels celebrate, because that is a miracle that we were destined for hell because of the things that we've done, all of us in the sin nature, and that we can have salvation through him, and that he comes in and lives in us. That is a miracle. And so we need to understand, yes, we need to be, you know, we need to be responsible for us to do our part, but we have to trust him that he can do his part. If we're faithful, if we're seeking him, right, saying, God, I'm gonna read, I'm going to do my part, I'm going to be ready, I'm going to be prayed up, I'm going to talk to the right people, all of these things, and then trust him for his part, which is that supernatural. Because I think all of us want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, right? That as we leave this earth, we say, you know what, God changed the world through me. There's something bigger than us. That's his part. Our part is faithfulness to him. Our part is, you know, discipline and being responsible and, you know, all of these things. So does that make sense where I'm going with that? It's a fine line balance of us doing our part and trusting him for him to do his part. Okay, we'll move on to number four here. Sorry, I do want to read a verse here before we get to number four under this, our responsibility. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. I believe we have it. So if you're following along, flip there, yes. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Again, opportunity, right? As we have the opportunity, let us make the most of these things. And certainly understanding reaping and sowing and all these is the idea of responsibility, of us taking, you know, responsibility, each of on our own, for our own personal walk with Christ, for us to move forward. Number four, decide to clean out everything that needs to be cleaned out. Decide to clean out everything that needs to be cleaned out. You know, all of us have been guilty of this too. As we're cleaning, right? We clean most of the house, but let's not clean that room because there's no time to get, right? Let's just throw everything in the junk drawer. How many of you guys have a junk drawer in your house, right? Junk drawer, maybe a junk room in your house, maybe a junk garage in your house, right? Okay. We understand that we clean most of it, but not that one area. And again, that's silly and, you know, whatever. But on the spiritual side of it, we'll clean most things out, but not this little corner here. Well, God, I'll keep this corner. I'll keep this habit. I'll handle this myself, or I'll do, no. God's saying, no, we need to, as we want to move forward, clean out everything that needs to be cleaned out. And all of us in our own lives, if you're really honest with our, you know, with ourselves, we would know what that is, right? All of you probably sitting here going, this area of my life, I should give this over to Christ. I haven't yet. Maybe it's time, right? Maybe it's treasure. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's talents. Maybe it's the ways that he's gifted you that you've not given him. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's time. Maybe it, who knows what it is, because God's a big God. He can be personal with each one of us. But what is it that we're holding on to that we're not cleaning out for him, and we need to ask him, you know, to give us victory over that? Five, as we conclude here, five, we need to believe God for breakthrough. First blank, believe God for breakthrough. Philippians 4:13, one of the most quoted passages in all of Scripture. NIV says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And in the New King James Version, it reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, probably over the years, if you've been in church somewhat, you've heard that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we look at it, it's not about us. It isn't about our power. It's about his power strengthening. And if we're going to believe this, number five, if we're going to believe God for breakthrough, then we're going to believe that his power in us, strengthening us, can help us break through. Break through that area that we've never given to him. Break through that, you know, that wall that we have. You know, there, spiritual warfare is very, very real. Maybe you guys have, you know, come up against it and you say, I just can't break through this, you know, whatever it is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this year, as we move forward into that, we can break through. We can move into that. And you know, trust him that there are new things that he wants us to, you know, walk into. And it isn't about, yes, you know, we need to be responsible, but we need to believe him and trust him. He can break through. He can change lives. He can give us that vision of what we're supposed to do. And bless our families, and, you know, whatever. Fill in the blank for, you know, all of us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to go ahead and spend some time. If you guys just bow your heads and close your eyes now as we conclude, the worship team can head on up. Let's just spend some time thinking. Again, don't, you know, use this time to whatever, look around or whatever. Just kind of introspect here. Say, God, what are some new things? You know, again, there's, you know, lots of points from this message here, but the whole idea is, in 2013, he wants us to break through. So what are you believing God for this year? Maybe kind of pray about that for a second. Maybe there's some of you thinking, you know what, there's some things that I need to let go of that don't really fit me anymore. You know, that was my old self, this is now my new. Maybe some of those. And just kind of pray to God and say, God, please take these from me. I don't want these old things anymore. You know, kind of goes along with, what do we need to clean out? Maybe there's something that God is, his Holy Spirit's working on you right now and saying, I need to clean this out. I need to make room for him. Maybe your something this year is finally receiving his salvation. Maybe you've been to church a lot. Maybe you've been to church very little. But you know deep down, you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, even as we talked earlier, John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so what that is that he wants a relationship with us. And so if you're out there, and again, that something new for this year for you is just saying, Jesus, I don't have a relationship with you, but I want one. There are no magic words. It is all about heart. The New Testament covenant, where we are now, where we're living, it's all about heart. And you quietly, even in your own words, talking to Jesus, saying, Jesus, I believe. I want your salvation. I want a relationship with you. I know I've never done that before. Jesus, please come into my life. I'm sorry for the things I've done. Please save me. Please start a relationship. And if you've never done that, you can do that this morning. Again, quietly. You know, all these things, whether salvation, cleaning things out, whatever, don't put any of these off, even as one of our points was now. You make these choices. I just want it quiet. We're going to have the guitar just playing for a second, just to kind of pray. All these things, you know, that I was just, you know, talking about, just speak to God quietly. In your own words, if you're sincere, I guarantee you he's going to hear you. So just call out to him if you need to. Say, I need to confess these things. God, give me vision. All these things. I want it quiet just for a minute as we pray. And then I'm just, excuse me, as we hear the music, and then I'll just close us here in a moment of prayer.